Jess in with you this morning. Now, the Hunter Gas Pipeline Project, a billion-dollar state significant project, was approved in 2009. There's been a lot of talk about gas over the previous days. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has basically committed the federal government to filling the gap on the grid with a gas power plant in the Hunter Valley should the private sector fail to step up and fill that gap when Liddell, the power station here in Muswellbrook, shuts up shop in just a couple of years' time. The managing director of the Hunter Gas Pipeline Project, Garbus Simone, and joins me on the line for an update on what's happening with that gas project. Garbus, how are you this morning?
I'm well, thanks, Jess.
Now, this project is something that's been spoken about for a long time. For anyone who may not recall, give us an outline of this project.
Well, the project was originally conceived and approved in 2009 to bring gas from Queensland. We wanted to, a group of Hunter businessmen got together, and we wanted to bring in some competition into the market, because at that time the gas was mainly coming from Bass Strait only. And when there was gas available in Queensland, we decided to bring it down, and we believe competition always is good. It reduces prices. However, soon after us securing the approval, The gas companies in Queensland decided to export their gas as LNG. So the project sort of more or less went on hold for a few years. We were hoping maybe to transport gas from parts of New South Wales, northern New South Wales. However, with the restrictions on coal seam gas exploration in New South Wales, that also sort of delayed the project. However, about 3 years ago, it became obvious, 2 to 3 years ago, that gas in Bass Strait was running out. BHP and Exxon drilled some dry holes. They were very expensive holes, so they spent $500 million. And so it became obvious we're running out of gas for the southern states of New South Wales and Victoria. New South Wales imports 97% of its gas from outside the state. So once it became obvious this gas was drying out, the only place where there is surplus gas is northern New South Wales and Queensland. Narrabri is one project that's potentially possible to supply New South Wales. That's about to be reviewed and approved. And so New South Wales is now looking for Queensland. Now, the existing pipeline capacity is not enough, in that currently the gas from Queensland to New South Wales goes all the way west to Moomba from southern Queensland, and then after that it comes down Moomba to New South Wales. That's a long way away, it's very expensive, and the capacity is limited. So unless we build more capacity, such as the Hunter Gas Pipeline, we just won't be able to bring the gas down from northern Australia to supply our southern markets of New South Wales and Victoria. So this pipeline is essential not only for gas-fired power stations that are planned for the transition to renewables, but also for our industry and also homes.
Yeah. So this project is basically going to run, I guess, ideally through Narrabri, Gunnedah, and then here in the Upper Hunter, Quirindi, Scone, Muswellbrook, Singleton and Maitland, with the potential to run out to Dubbo and Tamworth via the Central Ranges. Is that still the sort of plan?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. So this pipeline will actually supply gas to towns that currently don't have gas, those towns you mentioned in the Upper Hunter, but it will also reduce the gas price by bringing more competition and more supply to regional areas such as Dubbo and Tamworth.
Yeah.
Now, this pipeline, I'll be clear, is an underground pipeline. It'll be 750 millimetres or, a metre underground. Okay? Mm. So it'll be about 24 inches in diameter. It's a steel pipeline with epoxy-coated inner and outer. So once it's in place, unlike other infrastructure, you won't see it. Yep. It's not like a wind farm or electricity pylons. You will not see this, and you can crop over it. You can put fruit trees and small trees over it. The only thing is, you will not be able to put a building on the 30-metre easement. That's the width of the easement. You won't be able to build any structure on that piece of land. Yes. But once it goes in... Now, the other thing is, there are thousands of these kilometres of these pipelines all over Australia, and they've been in place for the last 60 years. And they have an excellent record in terms of safety and environmentally. So, you know, it is not a gas field. It is not, you know, there's no permanent structures. There will be pumping stations every sort of 100 kilometres, but we will put them on land that we will buy and own, and that's sort of quite flexible where we could put those. And that will be a very small footprint, of course. Yeah.
And speaking of land and residents, so obviously this pipeline is going to be running through probably properties and people's homes where they are and all of that sort of thing. There has been a little bit of criticism about the communication between the gas pipeline project and the residents. There was a meeting in Singleton, I think it was last week, where residents were quite concerned about the lack of communication lately, the confusion over whether or not there would be compensation, where there wouldn't be compensation. What do you have to say to residents' concerns on that?
Okay. First of all, yes, there was a period when there was a quiet period when we weren't even sure if this project was going to happen. Mm. Now, this project has only sort of revived since last October when the extension was given. Since then, we started to put together our team, update the landholder lists, and that took us to February, March, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
Now, this has been disruptive, but we have written to all the landowners, and we have put together a team of people to send out to the field. We have started, we have engaged me personally and with the head of our community engagement, Barbara Campany. We've met with all the councils along the route. We've made presentations. We have started meeting landowners that are directly affected in small groups, so because of COVID.
Yeah.
So we've had a number of those, and this process will continue, mm-hmm. and we will engage with landowners that are directly affected. We will not engage at this stage with landowners that are have a land nearby but that are not affected.
Yeah.
We will also not engage with activists who have a separate agenda, and there are a number of those people running around making all sorts of unfounded allegations. And one of the allegations I want to make perfectly clear, there will be compensation for inconvenience, disruption to landowners. There will be compensation for easement. That is clear. We've said that right from the beginning.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to make perfectly clear is we will engage with every landowner to minimise disruption, because currently the approval is a 200-kilometre corridor. Now, within that corridor, we have flexibility to reduce it to 30 metres, in some cases even less, perhaps, to 10 metres. So, therefore, what we want to do is we want to move and place the pipe where it doesn't disrupt people, minimises disruption, and make sure that we don't go, you know, try and stay away from homes, you know, minimise disruption to cropping, adjustment, fencing, etc. But whatever is disturbed will be repaired, fences, gates, etc., at our cost. We will also pay reasonable costs for legal advice for residents and landowners. And that's clear, and you've heard it from me, and that's our policy, and that's what we will do.
Yeah.
Now, whatever other people tell you, that is not true, that we, and I make it clear, we will compensate people, fairly and reasonably according to the market and negotiating good faith.
Yeah. And on all of that as well, Garbus, this project, where is the money coming from to do all of the funding of the actual project and then all of this on top of that, the compensation, the making sure everyone's happy?
Okay. We are a group of the shareholders, are a group of business people. We are, successful business people, and we do have assets. We have obviously engaged, already had preliminary discussions with major banks. They're willing to fund this mm-hmm. project. We are also engaged with potential investors, major companies, and those negotiations are ongoing and are well advanced. We're engaging also with government naturally to support us to fast track this project, because it's of such national significance that it is so critical that we have competitively priced gas and electricity. By 2023, this pipeline must deliver gas, because otherwise when Liddell shuts, we will see a spike in our electricity prices by 30%. That's what the government said. So it's very important that we keep prices down so that our businesses can stay and continue, employing people. That is the key thing, is employing people and creating jobs.
Well, the clock certainly is going to start ticking very quickly on this project and many others for when Liddell does shut its doors. Garbus, thank you so much for your time this morning. And if anyone does want more information on this project, is the best place to go the website?
Yes, go to our website and there are contacts there, either email or phone numbers. Leave your details. If people want to know if their land's affected, what I suggest is they go to our website and email us their lot and DP numbers of their land in question, and within a few days we will check and come back to you and first of all say, is your land affected?
Yeah.
If yes, then we will make arrangements to engage and meet. If your land is not affected at this stage, then it's too early. But further on, later on, when it comes time to construction, etc., we will engage with the general community just to let them know, what's happening.
Yeah.
And if they're sort of indirectly affected by transport or, workers, etc., and teams working along the route.
Yeah, perfect. Well, Garbus, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
A pleasure. Always a pleasure, Jeff. And don't hesitate to call me anytime.